It's the country station, FM 95. Well, proud, blessed, and very happy to have. We always love it, Thomas, when we get live music in
the studio. Of course.
Yeah. Playing live music and playing the songs on the radio is great, but when a band comes into the studio and squeezes themselves, and especially. We're proud that we have some military in the studio today from the Air Force Academy, the Air Force Academy Band, Wild Blue Country. Gentlemen, welcome this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
We've got Jeff Valentine on the pedal steel and on video. Jeff, say good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you, brother? Get back up to the mic real quick. How long you've been in the Air Force? Tell us about your time and how long you've served. And
I've been in for coming up on 15 years now. I've actually been in the Air Force Academy Band, so I'm the oldest one in this group.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit older than Jamie, even though he looks all young because he's pickled himself over years of we won't talk about. But but yeah, 15 years in, and it's been great.
Well, I made an 80s movie reference, and you got that. So
I got it.
We're probably not far from each other in age.
I got it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So Jeff Valentine usually plays the pedal steel. Mike Coletti's here on drums. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. And how long you been in the Air Force Academy Band?
I've been in the Academy Band for, we're coming up on 3 years now. This is my first duty station and came straight out of basic training right here.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a great gig. You went into the Air Force with, what was your plan when you went into the Air Force? Was it to play music?
Absolutely. So the music career field is a little bit different than a lot of different units in the military in that in order to get the job itself, you have to take an audition. So they'll post a vacancy online saying, hey, we need a new drummer.
Yeah.
Sending your materials, and you may come out for a live audition.
Not just anybody gets in the band.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
you take the audition, and at that point, you get a piece of paper you take to the recruiter that says, hey, like, I'm a musician. This is going to be my job.
Yeah.
So when you go through basic, and then upon completion of basic, you come straight to your first duty station, whereas most of the members of the Air Force would then go to their technical school to learn the job that it is they'll do
right
in the Air Force. But all of us needed at least some sort of training in order to win the job.
Your technical school was behind the drum kit.
Yeah, it was a couple degrees in the Midwest.
Very cool. Mike Clay, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Connecticut, and then I went out to University of Michigan, then Indiana University, and then came straight out here for the Academy Band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Mike Coletti on drums. Jesse Thompson is here on guitar. Jesse, how are you, brother?
I'm well, thanks.
Jesse, where do you hail from?
I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. Okay, yeah. And you got in the Air Force Academy Band. How did you hear about it? How did you say, okay, military? Did you have military in your background, your family?
And grandparents.
Yeah.
I started out actually in San Antonio. That was my first assignment. So when I graduated from the University of North Texas, they had a posting saying they were hiring guitar players. But shortly thereafter, and I sent in some material, but shortly thereafter, there were Air Force-wide hiring freeze back in 2008.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of forgot about it. And then 2 years later, they called me and asked me if I was still interested. And so I ended up auditioning and ended up in San Antonio. And then I spent some time in Hawaii.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Air Force Pacific Band. And then
I bet that was an awful assignment in Hawaii.
It had some perks.
But, I'm happy
to be back in the mountains in Colorado. I've been there since 2013, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's great. But does skiing translate to surfing at all?
I don't know. I'm not a surfer.
You didn't surf at all when you were in Hawaii.
Your feet point different directions.
Yeah.
One you're going down, and the other sideways.
So. Absolutely, yeah. And also with us in the studio is Jamie, a teacher. Did I get it right, Jamie?
Yeah, that's right.
Jamie, tell us where you come from and how you got into the Air Force. Do you have some background in the military?
I was born and raised in Southeast Missouri, Northeast Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I was educated in honky-tonks.
Yeah.
And on music. And so then as soon as I was old enough, I moved to Nashville. And, I actually moved the day before I turned 21 and went there and started writing songs, for Sony and BMG. And
wow.
And then was in there for 15 years loving it. And I stumbled across an ad. I'm a sucker for old vintage guitars.
Retro sure.
Guitars. And so I was looking at old guitars, trying to find them on Craigslist, like every musician does, and trying to find that steel. And I was looking, and I came across this ad that was up for like one day. And it said that they wanted a, in my words, just a, they wanted a hillbilly singer.
Yeah.
It didn't exactly say
you're like,
that
wait,
way.
That's me.
But I was like, that's, I think that's me.
Yeah.
And so then I decided that, I talked to my wife and, we prayed about it.
Yeah.
We talked about it a lot and we said, let's do this because we wanted to show the kids what it was like to serve. And so we came in for one term and I'm three quarters of the way through my 4-year term, and and just loving every second of it. Best decision I ever made, you know, to get to serve my country and sing in uniform and be a part of this, you know, great military that we have.
Now, wait, Jamie, how long did you say you struggled down in Nashville? What were you?
Well, it wasn't all a struggle.
But you hit the honky tonks, you hit Broadway, you hit the...
No, I didn't do that in Nashville.
You didn't do that.
I started that at 9.
Oh, okay.
And then when I went to Nashville, I started writing for the radio. I wrote for Luke Bryan and Trisha Yearwood.
That's great.
And Trace Adkins and, you know, all those folks. Gretchen Wilson, who's not too far from here, Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Gal, and,
down by St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I wrote some songs, you know, Montgomery Gentry, a bunch of different folks. And
yeah.
My first single was How Do You Get That Lonely by Blaine Larson.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I ever came on the radio about 10 years ago now. It's crazy. But it was a real blessing. And so, I got to do that. That's what I always wanted to do. I remember, you know, all I wanted to do was, you know, have a gold record and play the Grand Ole Opry. And I got to do that. So I think, wow. And then I thought, I always wanted to serve my country. And so now I get to serve my country. And it's one of the biggest joys of my life to get to do that.
Now, has the Air Force Academy band been on the Grand Ole Opry stage? Or is that in the future at all, Mike?
Yeah, the band has. I'll let Jeff handle this one because he was actually in the band when they went out there.
Jeff Valentine on pedal steel.
Yeah, we were out there in 2014 was the time we actually did a tour of Kentucky. And we started out in Nashville on that Saturday night, which was really cool. There were a lot of... we just had a great time there. We had a couple tunes we played for about 10 minutes, a couple standing ovations, and
it was
awesome.
Who else was there that night? Do you remember anybody that you were just like in awe of when you were there?
Was I there, Jeff?
You weren't there. No. Yeah, I mean, had you been there, though, you would have been the first that came to my mind. Well, we hung out with Pete Fisher, which is cool because he's in charge of the Grand Ole Opry, right? Pete Fisher.
Yeah,
so we got to meet him and stuff and talk to him for a long time. We met... who else do we meet? I met Vince Gill wasn't there, but I think Charlie Daniels was there.
Wow.
And then who else was there who was big? Chris Jansen
Chris
was there
Jansen,
too. He
yeah.
was playing that night. So yeah it was a cool lineup. He was brand new then, yeah.
Yeah. So. In 2014 he absolutely
was.
We were writing tunes back then, and it's funny, it's just so weird how worlds almost... Because I didn't come in until 2015.
Yeah, sure.
It's just
an
interesting thing, you know.
We saw him at a little Illinois Broadcasters Award ceremony. He was playing our dinner.
Yeah.
And he was just coming up, and he told us his story, and the man played a harmonica like Eddie Van Halen plays guitar. It blew us away.
You know, it's crazy, too. A lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, he was kind of into, like, punk, you know, and different things.
Sure.
There were a couple really famous photos of him that were really cool of him, you know, playing in Nashville, and made the Tennessee Vacation Guide.
Okay, you know? Sure.
And they're really amazing photos.
Yeah.
And you know, and he was in that, and it wound up being a really cool, like, iconic couple pictures, and then he became this country singer guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's pretty neat. Well, all these guys are strapped and ready to go to play music in the studio.
Yeah.
You have a single that we're going to hear in just a little bit, but we're so proud that you guys brought instruments into the studio. It's the Air Force Academy Band. Do you need some time to warm up? You guys look ready and primed.
I think we're good to go.
Yeah, yeah. The Air Force Academy Band out of Colorado Springs.
Let's do music, made me do it.
All right.
It's Wild Blue Country on FM 95. Let's give a listen.
Wrote this tune with Brian Simpson. He wrote Guy with a Girl and some other big ones.
Oh. Rolling Stones on the radio, and that sympathy for the devil solo had me selling all my old state. Marching into that pawn shop, and all I had on a new Les Paul didn't have one more penny to add to it. Made me do it. I scrapped 4 years at the university for a rhinestone town in Tennessee. Left my hometown in the dust of my home. I put Springsteen into my tape deck, and I shot out like a rusty rocket. Born to Run had me breaking that speed limit. Music made me do it. Been my home, been my best friend.
way out or my way in. That's the way it's always been. Whoa. Well, early on they said that I didn't fit in, but like Willie Waylon and Christopherson, I just breathed in a little more that outlaw spirit. And with one song, I'll roll that stone. The music made me do it. It's been my home, it's been my best friend. My way out, oh, and my way in. It's been my hallelujah and my medicine. That's the way it's always been. Whoa. Well, I've kissed my wife and kids goodnight from an iPad screen so many times. I don't think I'll ever get used to it. But I'm a prisoner of the melody. Truth is, I don't ever want to be free. I guess that's why I keep putting myself through it. So when I'm gone, chisel it in stone. The music made me. The music made me do it. The music made me do it.
How lucky are we to have the Air Force Academy Band in the studio, Wild Blue Country. The music made me do it, the name of that track?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a Jamie Teichner on vocals, Jesse Thompson on guitar, Mike Coletti on the drums. But that, you're sitting down, that is a, I know what that, Jimba, what is it called?
Cajon.
Cajon. And then Jeff Valentine on the pedal steel, actually on just video today. Couldn't bring the pedal steel, couldn't get it out of the car.
It's an important job, though.
Yeah.
I got to document this thing.
That's right. Now, do you guys, Jamie, did you write that song?
I did.
Yes, yeah, sir. That's a great song.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, do you guys write when you're out and about, when you're traveling? When do you do most of your writing, and where's that inspiration coming from?
Well, I don't write as much right now in this current season of my life, just because we travel so much, and you know, I mean, it's pretty common. A lot of times, when you travel, you know, you're more focused on that, and when you're writing, you're more focused on that. I spent so many years, you know, going to the office and writing. You know, when I was at Sony or BMG or whatever, we would go in, and it was like a 9 to 5 or more of like a 10 to 2 job.
Yeah.
but we, you know, and then an hour and a half lunch, 2 hours. But
yeah.
Anyway,
whenever you get back.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was life in that season of my life. And I've written a little bit here, but I mostly start things, but I don't finish them.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because
sure.
I don't have a real reason to meet a quota, and you know, like a song quota, like I did. You know, nobody really is breathing down your neck in Nashville to meet it, but you do have a desire to do that because that's your main outlet to not only creatively but also financially. That's how you're making your bills.
So glad to have Wild Blue Country in the studio. Do you have an arsenal of songs that never got recorded by anybody? How about that one? How long has that one been around?
As I always say, you know, I've got way more misses than I do hits.
But
I think that some of my favorite songs are not recorded by other folks.
Yeah.
And I wrote that with Brian Simpson, who wrote, you know, Guy with the Girl, that big Blake.
Guy with the Girl,
hit,
sure.
And yeah, about Joe Nichols. You know, we've written a lot of songs together. Brian's one of my favorite co-writers, and Joe West is another one of my favorite co-writers. But, you know, honestly, I don't really know the formula on what gets a song recorded. I know how to do it, and I've seen it happen many times, thankfully, but it seems like that it's always different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just always different.
Since 9 years old, you've been playing guitar, you said?
I started playing guitar when I was 6, but I really was I consider myself a piano player.
Yeah.
This is more out of necessity because it's a lot easier to carry this than it is to carry an upright piano.
You write songs at the piano?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so everything I do almost just it revolves around the piano.
Jesse Thompson is in the studio with us too. Jesse, step up to the microphone really quick. And what was the influence in your family playing? Why'd you pick up the guitar the first time?
Well, when I was about 5 or 6, my parents made me take piano lessons, and I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And we had a guitar teacher actually move in across the street from us.
Yeah.
About a few years later, and they said, "Well, if you save up your lawn mowing money and buy a guitar, then you can switch to guitar lessons." And of course, you know, early mid '90s, all guitar was really cool.
Yeah, with, yeah,
you know,
sure.
Nirvana and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and so obviously,
yeah.
Of course, I wanted to switch to guitar from piano. Kind of, and then I wish I would have kept up piano now that I'm an adult. But
right.
But that's where that all started. And then you know, I played all through high school, and then I went to University of North Texas to do the jazz guitar thing. And so yeah, just kind of a thread that continued throughout my life, and I'm fortunate to be able to do what I'm doing now. For the Air Force.
Playing a musical instrument. Her daughter played piano for 7 years, doesn't play anything now, but picked up so many things, and I think it helped her in so many ways. With the Wild Blue Country, the Air Force Academy band in the studio, these guys are all in fatigues. We're honored to have them in the studio with us today. But Mike Coletti's here on the drums, and where's your love of music come from, Mike?
I come from, I'd say, a fairly musical family. Both my folks went to the Eastman School of Music out in Rochester, so I guess it was in my blood, and so... Before I even remember anything about life, I was already sitting down at a piano. Father was piano player. My mother was oboe. They actually met because he was accompanying her through Eastman, and that's how it came about. But I was sitting at a piano at a really young age and played all the way through high school, but in a classical training sort of a way where I would just take piano lessons every week, and I was playing Beethoven, I was playing Bach, whatever have you, in that nature.
Yeah.
And part of me really wished that I had dived more into the improvisation jazz side of things just to round out that skill. But when band rolled around 5th grade, I went straight to the trumpet for some reason. I don't know what drew me to it, but I did it. And then I was constantly getting yelled at for turning around and looking at the percussion section. Every day, band director's like, "Mike, get play the trumpet." And then my mom eventually was just like, "All right, we're going to switch them over." And now, I switched over and never looked back.
Outside of the classical genre, what were you listening to the radio? And
listening to all sorts of things.
Yeah,
but
sure.
you have two classically trained musical parents. That was the direction I was in. And then, you know, jazz band in middle school. And then the more I played, the more I found other styles of music. My teacher had me playing rock, pop, funk, soul, whatever have you, on drum set.
Yeah.
But in addition, I had that strong classical training as well, which I took to undergrad and grad school with me.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you guys stand? Also in the studio with, can I call you the elder statesman, Jeff? Jeff Valentine, the pedal steel. I'll pull this microphone.
That's actually what we call him.
Yeah. Tell us where your love of music came from, and how. Another part of that question, I guess, is how do the other guys in the Air Force respond to the band that you guys do what you do? Do you guys get messed with because you got an easier gig than some of the other guys, or just as respected as anybody else?
Well, the beginning part of that, I have really no musical, no one in my family was a musician at all. So it didn't really come. It was really, I was at school and it was either take ag or take band. So I said, "Well, I'll take band." So I took band and started playing the trombone, and I was really good. So I thought, well, I'm really good at this. I'll just keep doing it because, you know, I should do that.
Yeah.
So I just kept practicing, and then I got to where I wasn't even eating lunch at school. I got to school early. I practiced. I went to class. I didn't eat lunch. I skipped lunch, saved my lunch money, practiced through lunch, played through band, stayed after school and played. That's just what I did all the time.
Yeah.
So, and then pretty soon I was, you know, making all-state jazz band, all-state band as a freshman and everything. And then so it was like, well, okay, this is – I don't really ever want to do a real job, so I'll just keep playing music. So I didn't know what, so I thought I'll go to college. I'll just keep playing. So my real goal was just to keep playing.
Yeah.
And then I kept playing, and then you know there was a job in the Air Force Academy band way back in 2003, and I actually graduated high school in Pueblo, Colorado, so I knew of the Air Force Academy band in Springs.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll go up and visit my dad, and I, you know, I sent him a recording. They said, oh, that's great. You know, come for the live audition. So I did that, and then they said, well, I ended up, you know, winning the audition. They said, okay, so you can have the job if you want it, but you just have to go talk to a recruiter, let us know in a couple of days. So I said, okay. So I thought, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'll do it. So I said yes. And then over time, I switched to pedal steel guitar. I had a real weird neurological issue with just a trombone thing. So I started working on pedal steel guitar, and in just a few months, I was able to start playing with the country band, and that was about a decade ago.
Okay.
And then I started doing that, and then I've been doing that ever since. So, and I still play trombone. We play marching band things, and stuff like that. So
tons of experience.
To answer your question though about the how people sort of view what it is that we do, it's a very mixed bag.
Yeah.
You have the folks that are super supportive. They think what we're doing is awesome. They really do get the big picture and what it is that we bring by way of value to the Air Force.
Right.
You've got the people that don't quite understand what it is that we do and are a little disgruntled because they know that the lifestyle is a little bit different.
Right.
And you have a couple that are jealous, like, man, I wish I could be in the band. And so it's a really a wide range of view on
but
our career field.
Yeah, but the Air Force Academy has a long, huge tradition of this, of having bands.
And
music, and you said in several different genres. And even at wartime, there's a place for music.
Well, something no one has mentioned, really, is the deployment aspect of it. You don't... The people who knock the bands are the people who really don't know what the bands do. They see what the bands do as they drive past a parade, and they go, wow, they shouldn't be getting paid to do that. But what they don't realize that we do is, like, when we deploy, we're not at the tip of the spear, but we do things. We're an arm of publicity, of PA in the Air Force. That's what we fall under. But no one in the Air Force does anything like what we do, including everyone in PA. No one actually does anything like what we do. Because if you send us over to deployment, people think we go and play for the troops. The troops don't want to hear that. Well, that's not really true, and that's also not really true, because we don't really play for the troops. We do some, but most of what we do is we go to a base, and sometimes the base says, well, we're having problems with the locals in this country. We're renting the base. It's their base, and they don't like us. So go out there and make them like us. So really, you know, what we do is we go out there, and we play for the communities. We let them play with us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, and there's no threat in music when you're playing music and someone comes up and plays with you, and they don't speak the language. They still play with you, and there's a connection. And the connection there is a real connection, because it's not like we're there. We're there with, you know, as fakery. We're not. That's really what we do, and it's what we have learned to do throughout our life. So that's what we do. We do it anyway because we're motivated to do that because we're musicians. So we go play, and it's a true thing that people experience. And through that, we actually open doors. And then all of a sudden, and I've seen it literally when I was on deployment. They said, oh, well, these Russians all of a sudden started talking to the people who were in charge of the base again, and now we get to stay at the base. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Things like that that we do that no one knows about. You know, and it's reasons they don't understand the aspects, those things that we do. They don't really get that. And they don't see it. But the generals, the four-star generals, the one who makes sure we stay around, they know what we do, and they won't let us go away because they see that.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, and it's wonderful, too. And I'm sure you take their minds off of, especially during wartime, of what the mundane things or the hard things that they have to do. That's what music does.
Yeah, I actually have a close friend right now. He's a lieutenant in field artillery, and he's at a small outpost in Afghanistan right now. And I was able to just talk to him on Facebook really quickly just to check and see how he's doing.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I had to just mention it to you that, you know, we had a very small group come in and entertain us for, like, honestly 30 minutes. And he said, you should have seen how the morale changed, like, instantly. I don't believe it was an Air Force group, or I don't know what it was. But nonetheless, the value of the entertainment on the mental health of the troops that are over there doing those things that need to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear a lot about Toby Keith. I'm going on a USO tour. I'm going to go over there and play for the troops. Yeah, you go and you land on the biggest base they have and you play for the troops. But you won't go to the FOBs, those forward operating bases with 40 people. They won't go there. People get shot there.
Yeah.
They won't go to any of the small places where you have to Osprey in and land real quick and there's someone who flies around the top to make sure no one shoots you while you're landing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go to those places.
Yeah.
We do.
That's where
so
you guys
when
go.
We actually deploy, we can get on Black Hawks, we can go to these smaller places that they'll go to the large bases, and those bases are safe anyway. There's no danger with the large bases. They're so protected, and but the smaller places are where the troops just don't have anything. And that's where we can get in and out of pretty quickly because we get paid to do that. So we've already signed on a dotted line.
Yeah.
We could go wherever they want us to go.
Thomas,
so
I hit a passion point with Jeff.
Yeah, you did.
He's on it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I mean,
I love it.
That's I'm sure you can imagine, like, mental health is one of the really big things that they harp on when you're in the military.
Oh,
there's a lot of those different mental health assessments. It's just something that they keep us in mind of. And so to be able to go make a difference for the mental health of the troops overseas is an honor.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And doing what you guys did for us during that last song was awesome. Made our day. We had a pretty good Monday. But that makes it a lot better, especially we usually live music is in here on Fridays and we love it, but having it here on a Monday is pretty cool. So you guys want to hear the new single? Let you take a break from your guitars and maybe Jamie, you can talk about this the single that we have here.
Sure. We would be honored if you play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're thankful for it because now I did write this one after coming into the Air Force. I wrote all the songs on the record. But some of them were written before the Air Force, and this one, Jeff told me, he said, Jamie, would you mind? We need to have a song on here that really represents the Academy.
Yeah.
But we talked about it a lot, and it was kind of a clear decision that we needed to not focus only on the military picture, because the Academy is really an amazing institution that offers, you know, all of our academies, not just the Air Force, but, yeah. You know, it, but the Air Force in particular, it really offers such a great, you know, education that's, you know, competitive with, you know, it's one of the top universities, and it's you know, a great education, and it's I don't like to say free, but it is at no monetary cost. I mean, because people, they do sign on the dotted line to actually go. So, you know, when you say free, that means there's no cost incurred.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are great aspects about the fact that someone can go come through when they're in ninth or tenth grade and decide on the academy, and then they start submitting all their information, you know, and they go through the processes, and they come in and they can get their 4-year degree, and then they get to serve and wear the uniform.
Absolutely.
After that, and they come out as a second lieutenant. You know, we're all saluting them. Yeah. You know, when they walk out, and then they eventually can take command of you know, their own, you know, squadrons and even further up.
And cool. Yeah, and the Bachelor of Science degree that they get from there is absolutely, you can use it in any sort of civilian sector.
Yeah.
You know, the job that they will is not just something you take into the Air Force, and when they get out, they say, I have nothing to show for it. There's no potential jobs. They go on to be lawyers, doctors. I mean, you can obviously be in the commercial airline industry. There's just a lot of options.
You can get a management degree. You can get different things. You know, I didn't know this until I came in the Air Force, and that's a great point. I didn't know that there was – I didn't know they got to choose their major.
Yeah.
Because that would be a big deal for me. I think if I went in and they chose what I learned, you know, I would be frustrated with that. But that's not the case. You go in and there's major day, and you pick out – you talk – you know, you may be more suited for one, but you do get to have say-so in that. And, you know, if you want to go into law, then and you test the right way – I mean, they'll send you to law school. If you want to go into medical, they'll send you to medical school. And we're talking like Ivy League education. You know, we know people that have gone on to Harvard or to Columbia or to MIT or different things like that even, you know, and you know, wind up being astronauts and everything. And we've met all these folks.
And the Academy was the platform for that.
It was. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a launching point, and they continue to fund that education for the brightest minds to do that. So it's well-placed tax dollars. I'm really proud to pay my taxes every year, even though I'm not normally jumping up and down on the tax fan day. But it makes me proud that I see young people who, you know, maybe they are underprivileged. They're not from a privileged family, and they're not able to go to these Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
But they're brilliant minds, and they might be the next cure for cancer.
Yeah.
And here, you know, our tax dollars are funding these people to go through and not just be pilots, but to also go on to be amazing minds in science.
Well, with the Air Force Academy Wild Blue Country Band, Jeff Valentine on pedal steel. He's taking video today. Mike Coletti on drums. Jesse Thompson on guitar. And that was Jamie Teichner, who you just heard. Now, you were tasked with writing a song, and that encompasses all things about the... Was that daunting to you when they asked you to write this one?
Well, that was... You know, basic training was the hard part. The writing the songs was the easy part.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
As they say. But, you know, that was what I did. I wouldn't say it was easy, but I grew up family of musicians. Everybody I could reach out and touch, everybody I was genetically kin to, was playing music.
Yeah.
It was literally the only thing that, and everyone, a lot of people were bivocational, you know, understand. But my daddy was inducted in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame in 2014.
Really?
And I got to be a part of that ceremony. And so he was, you know, rock and rolling and playing the piano. Jim Teichner and the Panthers. Any of you folks out there that want to use the old Google. But it's really interesting, and he was a huge influence on me. And he started, he got offered a deal in the early 80s to be a songwriter, and he just decided he wanted me to grow up in a small town, and so he didn't pursue that any further, and he walked away from that. And I always admired it because, you know, I met my wife, she's my high school sweetheart, so I think, well, you know, his grandbabies are a result of his, you know, not needing more than what he needed.
And so, yeah, absolutely.
You know, his sacrifice led to his grandbabies coming out, you know. But the thing is I wrote this song because I wanted it to represent it the right way. And so I think that's the thing. When you sing the national anthem, or especially when I sing it, that's the most important song to me, because I think, you know, I don't want to get this wrong. There's been so many people who have gotten wearing the uniform correctly and right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one that messes that up.
And yeah,
so
sure.
It's very important to me. And so this is a lighter note. It's not as important as our national anthem.
Yeah.
But I'm still writing about and wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
And so that was really important to me. So that was probably the most daunting task.
Yeah.
But not on the fact that, you know, writing the song was the fun part.
You were proud to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me what we're about to hear.
So this is called Here We Are, and I wrote this by myself. And it you know, it talks about, you know, leaving home for the first time, and it can be going to the Air Force Academy, it can be joining the military, or it can be going to college, or it can be moving off and you know, pursuing your dreams in Music Town, whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it just how that everyone's dreams are giant when you leave home, and some of those dreams go on to be really giant. You know, they say no one ever does anything that doesn't try to do that something.
Absolutely. The Air Force Academy Band, Wild Blue Country on FM 95. It's the Country Station, FM 95, the Air Force Academy Band, Wild Blue Country. Here we are. The CD that I have in my hands here, what track was that?
That was track number one. It was the title track.
Yeah.
As well, just because we wanted to make it as easy as possible to find our single.
Well, we've got a bunch of CDs that we're going to give away in just a little while after these guys, before they leave. We'll throw a bunch of these out. You can just call up and then stop down the station and get them. And thanks for bringing these guys,
too. Oh, thanks for having us. Absolutely. And that's available anywhere music is free. It's not anywhere music is sold, but
yeah.
You can go, you know, Bandcamp, you can go CD Baby, you can go on our at Wild Blue Country on Facebook or Instagram. You know, we've got all the tracks up on YouTube.
Yeah,
so you can find it many different places.
Mike Coletti was mentioning he didn't get on the album. He wasn't there for the recording, but you got the back of you is on it.
There I am. Yes,
that's pretty cool. There's 10 songs on this album.
That's his best side.
Yeah, his backside's on the album.
You only say that when you're in a band with somebody. You know?
Backside on the backside.
That's awesome. Now you guys do have Jeff was mentioned. You do have a studio on bass. Do you guys go in there,
sir,
and jam and practice?
Well, our Uncle Sam has a studio on bass.
Yeah, Uncle Sam
it is. It's a beautiful facility. Yeah. We're lucky to have it. And it's the largest space we have. So a lot of times the large concert band or our marching band, if we have rehearsals, we'll use that space because it's acoustically really nice.
Yeah.
And so we're able to record rehearsals while we're in there. And yeah, the capability is really nice, and we wish we could use it more, but we don't have the time all the time. You know?
Yeah. So the four of you spending a lot of time together.
We do.
Yeah, and we have our bass player Jason Crow, just because for personal reasons he wasn't able to make it, but he's a big part of our group. He's what we would call NCOIC, our guy in charge.
Okay.
And,
nice.
And our sound guy Janusz Mistalich. He's born in Warsaw, Poland, and he's been in the Air Force for over 20 years.
So. It travels around with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But
great,
you know,
great sound guy. He could easily, have worked for any of the big names you want to name. But he gives us time for his country.
Yeah. So we have more to the group, but this is the personnel that we're taking on our radio tour.
Yeah. I don't know if we could fit any more military in this room than we already got. So we've got a former Navy guy in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, Air Force Academy, Wild Blue Country. Love the single, guys, but I want to hear more live. That'd be great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we would love it. Well, let's do the outskirts.
Yeah.
Is that good? What key is this in again? Seriously. Like, is it? Got it.
It's Air Force Academy, Wild Blue Country, Jeff Valentine, Mike Coletti, Jesse Thompson, Jamie, a teacher, and the other two who are absent today. Let's hear them on FM
95. 1, 2, 3. You might not find us on a map, and folks around here's okay with that. Don't mind keeping to ourselves. We got broke down backs and calloused hands from working this here promised land. I wouldn't trade for no one else. We're the outskirts, wear our names on work shirts. We cause traffic jams with John Deere tractors. We don't care who thinks we're backwards. When they call, we fight wars. Mud on our floorboards. And harvest time's the only time that we miss church. We're the outskirts. We got Copenhagen bottom lips. We talk price of grain and politics. And work on F-150s when it rains. We act a fool on flip and slide. We love our kids, but we'll tan their hides. We try to live like Jesus and John Wayne. Yeah, we're the outskirts. Wear our names on work shirts. We cause traffic jams with John Deere tractors. We give a damn who thinks we're backwards. When they call, we fight wars. There's mud on our floorboards. And harvest time's the only time that we miss church. Yeah, we're the outskirts. Yeah, we're the outskirts. They bury us in outskirts. Yeah, we're the outskirts. Wear our names on work shirts. We cause traffic jams with John Deere tractors. Don't give a damn. Thanks for backwards. When they call, we fight wars. There's mud on our floorboards. And harvest time's the only time that we miss church. We're the outskirts. Yeah, we're the outskirts. Yeah, we're the outskirts. Yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah. Nice.
Our pleasure, our honor to have in the studio the Air Force Academy Wild Blue Country. It's on vocals, Jamie Teichner. Jesse Thompson is here too on guitar. Mike Coletti on drums. And Jeff Valentine on the pedal steel, who's doing video today. How did you guys come together? That's what I want to know, because yeah. I know there's it's a revolving Air Force Academy band at Wild Blue Country. And how did you guys get to? Because the harmonies are wonderful. Yeah, and I can tell you guys have been playing together for a while. How did that come about, Mike?
The way it works is, you know, like we said, we come in and we take the audition, and then once we're here, there are other people that get involved in terms of who is going to be in what group. I think it would be pretty self-evident that Jamie was destined for the country band.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not the case for everybody. You know,
either
for myself,
show tune, too,
either that or the opera. You got it. And you know, it was, you know, for someone like myself with the classical training, it wasn't necessarily guaranteed that I was going to be in Wild Blue Country. They could have thrown me in the big band or
right.
wherever they needed me. But basically,
so maybe producers, these people acted as producers and said, Mike and Jamie are going to be great together this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, the drummer in Wild Blue Country, you know, Master Sergeant retired Chris Gaona, who's a good friend of all of us here,
yeah.
he was retiring.
Yeah.
And so the vacancy happened to be the timing that I was coming in, and I fit the bill. And
yeah.
so they decided, all right, this is the next move. We're going to put Mike in Wild Blue Country. And Jeff actually has a really interesting story of how he came into Wild Blue Country, and it really is a lot of timing, and we're just very lucky
Jeff.
That the chemistry with our group is what it is right now, and just privileged to be able to share this with everybody.
Yeah. Jeff Valentine, how did you get into the band?
Well, I can't really play. I mean, if you play pedal steel guitar, you're not going to be anywhere but the country band. So for me, I have a unique position where I'm the only everyone's job has a number in a regional band, a number followed by a letter. So everyone's instrument has a letter corresponding 3N171 and a letter.
Like a career code.
If you mine is R for vocalist. No joke.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm the only U in the entire band, in the entire Air Force, in any band.
Wow.
So what it means is I'm not going anywhere because I'm not on the Manning document anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
other bands have a steel player.
I will stay right here in Colorado Springs, you know, until it's all over. And it's just in that country band. So it's a good position to be in, but it means that I get to deal with different iterations of people coming in and out. With Jamie, I knew we had a vocal vacancy. Our other singer was going to leave, and I fought hard to
Jeff auditioned me.
Run that entire audition to make sure we got someone in who could actually cover country music, because in general, the Air Force has to hire people who could do it all.
Yeah.
And rarely, if you could do it all, that means in general you can't do any one of those things really well.
Yeah.
Because you do it all. So you're putting a little bit of peanut butter on a big piece of bread. So but they have to be able to do everything.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
But I fought hard to try to get somebody, you know, they told me not to advertise on Craigslist. I did it anyway. Because I knew Craigslist would be a way that a lot of people would see it.
And real Jamie working. Loves Craigslist.
And that's where Jamie saw
He's
it.
A big Craigslist
guy. We hired another girl at the same time we hired Jamie, who's fantastic. She's in the rock band now. So
okay.
It was a good approach to get that audition done. And for Mike, at his audition, I was sitting there, and we actually come in during their last stage, and we play with them because we were the band that was available at the time to give them the panel an option to see the person playing a pop group. And as soon as he started playing, I pointed at him like the other guy. You know, I was telling him to hire that guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy we want.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't always get the people you want. So even if he had come in, I would have fought for him, and they would have said, no, you're getting this guy. And that would have happened where they would have moved someone over to come into our group. And then, so it's hard to always get the people you want, but I'm lucky to at least be able to stay in this band. And soon I'll watch Jamie leave, and I'll have to deal with someone else coming in, and our bass player will leave. So it's hard to keep it at a high level.
Yeah.
Because as soon as your singer leaves, you have a completely different identity. You can't, it's like you can say, let's do the tunes Jamie did, because what if it's a female?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really know that type of thing, and you can't dictate it. So
you figure out what you're going to get, and then you do your best to work that up to be at the right level.
Pedal steel's been lacking from a lot of country music for a while. Is there guys you tip your hat to that you look to that play pedal steel? You're like, that guy does it great. I love that guy.
There are a bunch of those guys, actually. I mean, you know, you listen to Paul Franklin's the guy who plays on all the George Strait, Alan Jackson.
I almost went to see Paul at the Station Inn down in Nashville.
Is that right?
I couldn't go.
I've seen Paul at the Station Inn. He's incredible. I mean, Randall Curry is a guy who plays with Brad Paisley, who's amazing.
Yeah.
But those guys, honestly,
Mike
Johnson's amazing. There are a number of those guys, those studio cats and other players. If you play steel guitar, you're either horrible or you're really, really good. Because you can't, it's unforgiving as all.
Sure.
So it's not an easy instrument to play.
Yeah.
So you either give up right away because you realize this is not for you. Or if you stay with it long enough, you're gonna be a competent player. So a lot of good players out there who do different things.
Yeah, I want to talk too. Have we just not talked to him enough, or is Jesse Thompson the quiet guy in the band, Mike?
He might be the quiet guy in the band.
He might be the quiet guy in the band.
He speaks with his guitar.
He's the looks and the talent.
I gotta ask, you're in a country band now, Jesse. But I heard you mention Nirvana and stuff like that. Were you playing Kurt Cobain licks and stuff like that back in the day? Who were the guys you listened to when you were?
Oh, yeah, when I was getting going early on, it was playing along with, and because they're relatively easy, you just play your power chords, you can play Nirvana and Offspring and all kinds of cool stuff like that. But then the natural progression kind of with most guitars, then you kind of start getting in the blues, Stevie Ray Vaughan, B.B. King, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the progression from that is to get into jazz and guys like that, you know, obviously Wes Montgomery and George Benson, I'm a big fan. And then this was the first time I've ever been in a dedicated country band.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit of you can apply lots of the same things, but in a different way. And so I'm definitely no Brad Paisley.
Well, your resume is well-rounded now, though, for sure.
Yeah. I'm probably like the peanut butter on the bread that Jeff was talking about. I can do a lot of things, but, I wouldn't say I'm not a master of any of them probably.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for spending a whole hour with us, guys.
You got
it. And you still got your guitar strapped on. Can we get one more live?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse had no idea how much honky tonk was waiting to bleed out of the screen. You know, it's like they got that neon.
How
neon
used
light.
To? Yeah, how many live gigs has this group played together? And the couple guys that are missing today.
This group we play all the time.
Yeah.
We have been since I've been in the band.
Now, yeah.
Jeff is deployed. And Jesse's deployed.
Yeah.
But Mike and I have not gotten to as of yet.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we've been New York to L.A. and all kinds of great places in between. We've been to a little town called Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Mm.
And I think, if anyone's listening that's been to Truth or Consequences, you know, you should call in right now.
Yeah.
But it was...
You
it
got
was,
a free CD.
We've been there more than once, actually.
Yeah.
And it's really great because... You know, that's another thing Jeff was talking about. We go places to there's three reasons we go, and really two. But we go to raise awareness for the Academy.
Yeah.
And to give more of a community relations. So the community relations could be two or three parts of that. It could be, you know, outreach for veterans. It could be outreach for folks that maybe don't get to see a military presence as much. Or in that, for instance, you know, Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, they do a lot of training exercises, and so we go out there to make sure that everyone knows how thankful we are that we're able to use that land space of America, that airspace, and train. And so that's one of our missions down there. So that's why we go to New Mexico, and that's why we go to Montana, and that's why we go to Missouri, and that's why we go to Illinois and Iowa. And
it's one of the coolest things we do.
Yeah,
to be able to go into communities and shake hands with taxpayers to say, like, we appreciate your support, and we're putting on a free concert. We're paid by taxpayers, and this is just our way of saying thank you. And for all of these veterans and civilians that are just so excited for us to be there, honestly, it's one of the coolest parts of the job.
I hope in the 50,000 watts of FM 95 country on the 94.9 dial that there's a 12-year-old to an 18-year-old, the one out there that just says, I didn't know I could go into the military and do that. I hope there's
see,
one
that's
guy.
Why, that's why
or
we're
one
here.
Girl.
It's just it's for that one, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, and it may be they want to go in and play pedal steel or sing country music or whatever, or it may be that they want to go to the Academy and become, you know, something to do with space. I mean, you think,
absolutely.
You know, there's a lot to look at, and there's a lot of great opportunities the military affords folks.
Thomas, you love space. I can't believe you didn't go in the Air Force instead of the Navy. Not to knock the Navy.
Hey, there are
there's
Navy guys.
Lots of naval astronauts.
Yeah.
There really are.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear another one from the Air Force Academy Wild Blue Country Band. Let's hear it from Jeff Valentine, Mike Coletti, Jesse Thompson, Jamie Teichner, and the others who are missing today. It's been a blessing to have you guys. Let's hear another one.
All right. Thomas, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Cheap sunglasses?
Y'all have been great. Yes, that'd be good.
All right.
Two, three. That big old summer sun sparkling like a disco ball. And I'm all laid back, relaxed, watching God just showing off. Hammock between two coconut trees. It's golden tans, ivory sands, and crystal white caps, like some old Monet painting without the price tag. Living like a king in the land of the free. Got $1 million view through these cheap sunglasses, day drifting away, sweet like molasses. Everything gonna be okay. This priceless paradise is right on the money. I'm smiling and saying hey, hey, hey to all the honey. You couldn't pay me to move. Oh, I got $1 million view through these cheap sunglasses. I'm keeping time by the tide, them waves go tick-tock. I'm balancing a cloud on the mouth of my shiner bark. Ain't worried about a thing, got life on a string. Girls popping out the water, looking straight out of Hollywood. Even my dreams don't look this good. Got $1 million view through these cheap sunglasses. They dripping away, sweet like molasses. Everything gonna be okay. This priceless paradise is right on the money. I'm smiling and saying hey, hey, hey to all the honey. You couldn't pay me to move. I got $1 million view through these cheap sunglasses. That sun's about to drop. Am I gonna take them off? No, no, no. Why fix what ain't broke, broke, broke? Got $1 million view through these cheap sunglasses. Life is looking perfect through this tinted plastic. Everything gonna be okay, okay. This priceless paradise.
I think your tax dollars sound pretty good right there.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome. It's the Air Force Academy Band, Wild Blue Country. I think Jeff Valentine didn't bring his pedal steel today, but he got a lot of video. Mike Coletti on drums, Jesse Thompson on guitar, and Jamie Teichner, great songwriter, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it. Were you guys headed? When do you go back to Colorado and take some time off from the road, or is this going to be a while?
Yeah, we're on the road for about a week now. This is our very first stop on this tour.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Grassroots Promotion for booking this one. It makes it a lot easier when I'm not the one booking it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
It's great. We're in Illinois. We're now heading out into Iowa.
Sure.
Mason City area.
Nice.
We're wrapping into Wisconsin, into Sparta, La Crosse, a bunch of different areas. And
yeah.
then back. We're actually finishing up the tour in Chicago. We're doing Chicago Frontier Days out in Arlington Heights.
Wow.
And we're playing an hour set with actually just this setup. These are the instruments we brought. So
yeah.
You guys get an hour of that. And then we're singing a trio version of the national anthem to open up their evening concert. And I believe Dennis Quaid and the Sharks, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So that's
that's
the final show on the road. And then we're back to Colorado to prepare for the big 4th of July part of the summer, and then what we have coming up next.
So. You guys are out there doing what you love and serving your country, and we love to hear it through song. Yeah,
well,
it's awesome. Yeah,
it really is a pleasure, and we thank you, Eric, and we thank you, Thomas, for having us and taking the time. You know, because you could have had anybody else in here, you could have talked about anything else that you wanted to. You know, y'all have so much power with this microphone. You don't realize, you know, all the young folks out there that are listening to you and thinking, oh my gosh, I want to either go into radio or I want to go in and be a musician, or, you know, so many people, we don't realize what an impact that y'all have. You probably don't realize that.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Live music is it's part of the. I love the job. I love coming in and doing the morning show every day. But when live music comes in the studio, there's nothing better. So, and by the way, some of the stuff you heard is on, or most of it is, right, or all of it.
All those tunes,
all the songs, the live stuff, and the single that you heard is on the United States Air Force Academy Band Wild Blue Country. Here We Are is the name of it. Next five folks at 342-9595, you're going to get a copy of it and come down to the station and pick it up. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Take care.